Hello and welcome to the Wine Appraiser Podcast, where we sip and tell and share affordable wine finds. I'm Dennis, the Wine Appraiser, and I'm here with my wife and wine tasting partner, Denise.
Hello, everyone.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Do.
Do.
Yeah, part two.
Part two.
Part do.
Part do. Excuse me.
Do. So last week we tasted three different Italian wines.
Mm-hmm. We liked the majority of those.
Yeah, they were good. I'd say we liked all of them, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were all good.
Very good.
And a couple of them you really like.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I preferred, and I'm going to keep looking for that one. I really like that.
And which one was that?
Montepulciano d'Abruzzo.
Mm. And my favorite was the 2022 Susu
Maniello.
Maniello.
Maniello. This week, we are up in a different region. We are in the Piedmont or Piemonte.
Mm.
Piemonte region.
In the foothills?
It means foothills.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the foothills of the Alps, clear up in northern Italy.
So we're not down in the heel in the boot.
Nope.
We've moved.
Like I said last week, Italian wines are very confusing to me. And this is one of the reasons, because this is a wine made from the Nebbiolo grape, and it's called Barolo.
Barolo.
And Nebbiolo can also be used to make another wine that you'll see a lot is Barbaresco, and that's another Nebbiolo grape variety.
Okay.
And so you'll see both of those, Barolos, Barbarescos, and there's more, but
so
we don't see them very often.
Same grape, different region.
Yeah, they're very close together, and we'll get into that, what the differences are in just a little bit. But first, we want to thank you for listening. If you're like us and want to learn more about wine, keep listening. We learn something every week. And we hope this show is going to make us and you make better wine buying decisions.
Mm-hmm.
By knowing a little more about the grapes, a little more about what you like.
And without spending a fortune.
Yeah. Affordable wines. You bet.
Mm-hmm.
You bet. So if that sounds like you, you're at the right place. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the show.
And how do they subscribe and follow?
Wherever they're listening to us.
Okay.
Go to your little button and push subscribe or like or
follow.
Yeah, follow.
Follow.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Nebbiolo mostly comes from the Piedmont or Piemonte region of Italy. Kind of Americans pronounce it Piedmont. Italians say Piemonte.
Piemonte.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it sounds a little cooler, Piemonte, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. So anyway, that means, like Denise said, foothills. It's right in the foothills of the Alps. So some of these wines come from some elevation, being in the foothills.
Mm-hmm.
The word Nebbiolo comes from the word nebbia in Italian, which means fog. And they say they don't really know why it was called that. It could be because when they're harvesting the grapes in October, there's a lot of fog in these foothills, or it could be because these grapes get that, you know, that cloudy white bloom on the grapes. And so they say that white bloom can be kind of considered a fog.
Yes, I've seen that before in grapes.
Okay. And it also comes at the time of harvest. So.
And that's the Nebbiolo grape.
Yep. And so this grape, it only accounts for 8% of the grapes in the Piedmont region.
Okay.
But those two wine varieties, Barolo and Barbaresco, are like considered some of the best wines in the world, especially Barolo. A lot of wine people. I don't know. Do you remember when we were listening to that wine podcast? And they did their, what were they doing? Their draft picks of wine.
Oh, yes.
It's like, which wine would you pick if you could only have these wines? I mean, there were several of them that said, if I could only have one wine to drink the rest of my life, I want Barolo. I still remember that.
That's what we're drinking tonight.
Yeah. So I'm kind of excited about that. I'm not sure I've ever had another Barolo in my whole life.
I'm not familiar
with this. I can't remember. We may have, but I do not remember. It would have been a while ago. So even though it's only 8% of the wine grown in this whole region.
The Northern Italy region.
The Piedmont grows more Nebbiolo wine than any other area in the world.
Right. It looks like it's about 95%
Italy grows this grape.
Oh, yeah.
And the next is like Mexico with just a sliver mm-hmm. of the Nebbiolo grape grown yeah. in Mexico.
And they say if you get a Mexican Nebbiolo, it's probably going to be a blend that you buy.
Okay.
Okay. In, I guess, a lot of Southern California, they're starting to grow it a little bit more.
So is it a fussy grape?
That. It's very fussy.
Is that why the Italy's... So Italians have it down pat?
No, I think that's why people don't particularly like to grow it because okay. it is such a fussy grape and it takes a certain area because it takes lots of sunshine mm-hmm. and it takes an area. So they say the Nebbiolo grape is going to be the first to bud in the spring.
Okay.
And the last grape to be harvested. So in other words, it needs a long growing season.
Okay.
And you can't have any, it can't be in an area that has any like frost potential, especially in the spring after the buds break or early in the fall either. Mm-hmm. So it's got to have that long growing period. It's got to have a lot of sunshine. And so, I mean, that's, I guess, the big important thing. It's also very terroir-driven, they say, the grape. It really picks up the flavors and characteristics of where it's grown. So you can have different Nebbiolo grapes grown in the same region, but if they're in different soil types or different topographies, they can have a lot of different flavors.
Okay.
And that's basically, that kind of takes us to the difference between Barolo and Barbaresco. Okay, so they come from very close proximities, but the Barolo, they say it gets the best vineyards. So if you've got a top vineyard in the area, it's going to be a Barolo, and then the Barbarescos are not as good of vineyards. And basically, it is those ridges, those slopes that get the best sunshine and have the best soils. They drain real well. Those are going to be Barolos. I mean, that's the region will be Barolo. And then the Barbarescos come from more of the valley where there's less diurnal temperature shifts, which means it's hot during the day. They get lots of sunshine. It helps the grapes to grow and mature, but then it cools off at night and it keeps the grape from maturing too quickly and becoming too overripe too soon. And so those diurnal shifts and the slope really plays into Nebbiolo and gives it that long growing season, gives it a more concentrated, mature flavor.
Mm-hmm. And these are also a grape that's high in tannin, high in acidity. So does this age well, Dennis?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And that's the big thing with Barolos. They're, I mean, the one we have tonight, it's a Kirkland Signature Barolo. It's a 2019, and they have to be aged a long time before they even come out for release. Mm-hmm. But then after you buy them, I don't know how long we've had this one, but it actually, we have three Barolos. They all say the earliest you're supposed to drink them is 2025. So I kind of hated to do this. This is the earliest you're supposed to drink it, but it says you can age these up to 2032, I believe.
And that's due to those tannins. Yeah. So that must be a thick-skinned grape.
I'm not sure about that because there's not much coloring in this.
No.
And usually you get the coloring in the, I did not see anything that told about the skins.
Okay.
But there is not much color in this.
I was just making an assumption.
And the other thing is, they said that the longer you age these, Barolo actually loses its color. And I'm not sure all the chemistry or whatever that goes behind that.
It loses its color.
Yeah, they said so. Actually, the older Barolo that you have, it'll actually lighten up in color, is what I read.
Well, that's an interesting fact.
I have not experienced that, so I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
A Barolo compared to the Barbaresco. A Barolo is going to have higher tannins. The Barbaresco is going to be a little smoother, less tannins. The Barolos are usually going to be a little more earthy, more age-worthy, where the Barbarescos are going to be a little more fruit-forward and have less tannins.
Okay.
So after going through all this, I kind of want to get a Barbaresco and check that out.
I know, we should have compared the two.
Yeah. So Barbaresco really sounds good.
But again, both from Italy.
They're very close together. Yeah,
both the Nebbiolo grape.
They're really right together. The big thing is the Barolos come from the slopes and the hills, and the Barbarescos are kind of the valleys and the more low areas.
But this seems to be the grape that the Italians prefer, Nebbiolo. It is predominant there.
That's because it's not grown anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, very little.
Yeah.
In any other place.
Again, it's a minor grape, really. Mm-hmm. In Italy, even in this region, it's only 8%. And do you know the grape that they grow the most?
What do the Italians grow the most?
Well, in Piemonte.
In Piemonte. Chardonnay?
Barbera. You really like Barberas?
I do like Barbera. Yeah.
And remember, Barbera is considered their table grape. I mean, it's the one that they drink with all their meals and everything. So Barbera is the big grape in the region. And they said up till like 30 years ago, Barbera was just kind of, it's a wine, everyday drinker. But now they've said, in the last 30 years, hey, this is a good wine grape.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you start seeing it from, I mean, we've had Barbera from California. Mm-hmm. I mean, several of those.
Yeah.
And they're good.
Very good.
So let's go to our tasting.
Okay, let's do that. We already talked about it being a very garnet color. Mm-hmm. And see your fingers through it. I call it more of a brick red kind of look to it.
Yeah. I think this one's starting to show some brown to it, actually. A little bit of browning to it. But it's very light in color.
It is light in color.
Yeah, very light. But I think even though it's light in color, it's fairly viscous. I mean, it's sort of thick for how light it is.
It has a bit of alcohol in it.
It's 13.5%.
Mm-hmm. So it's got
and
some
what
legs.
Do you what do you get on the nose?
Oh, very much cedar.
Mm, yes.
It is spice, a little cinnamony, figgy, a little bit of cherry too.
Yep.
A little bit of rose.
Yes. I say a lot of floral. Floral's the first thing I get. I don't know about
you. It is not fruit forward. I get a little more spicy. Mm-hmm.
And I think the cedar, what you said first.
I get a lot of cedar. Mm-hmm, lot of cedar.
Yeah, I would say to me, the floral comes first.
Maybe
probably cedar.
A touch of vanilla in there.
I can see a touch of vanilla or spicy. Yeah. And then, like you said, the cherry. Or to me, it's cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit comes in.
Cherry, a little
it's
bit
kinda
of
in
fig
there.
Or something. Yeah. Prune.
I don't get much earthiness on it. They were talking about all the earthiness on this. I really struggle to get earthiness.
That earthiness would be more that.
I really don't get much leather. There's a little bit.
The cedar is what I get the most of. Maybe touch of, I get spice. Maybe a sweet tobacco.
And I have heard, I tried to open this up, so it's been open for probably a good hour, but I did read some reviews for this wine, and they said they actually liked it better the second day than they did the first day.
Oh, there's a few wines I have found that to be true.
Mm-hmm. And I think it has gotten better just in the hour.
So have you given it a taste?
I have.
What are you getting on the taste?
I get lots of acid. First of all.
Yeah, it gives you a little pucker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
one of the
reviewers said noticeable acid.
Yeah.
And I think that I really don't get the tannins at all. I mean,
I get more of the fruit on the taste.
Mm-hmm.
Dark
fruit. Mm-hmm. Not as much of a cherry taste as a cherry smell.
And a little bit more of the terroir, I think, comes out in the taste.
But you're saying a little bit of minerality or...
Yeah, just a little more. Maybe like that.
And I do think the flavor, this is probably one of the longest tastes. That flavor just stays with you.
And that stays with the pucker a little
bit.
That
could be. But that flavor just stays with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've sat here for quite a while. And it's like, I still taste that.
Yeah.
So it's good. I like it.
Very good.
For me, I think could be aged for another couple years. And maybe that acid would...
dissipate a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go down. And I think maybe it'd be better in a couple years.
Yeah. I would really want this to pair this with some food.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a very good food wine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This would be great on your table.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do you think of Barolo, and what do you think of this wine?
I like this wine. I'm still, I'm really on the fence of 3 or 4. It's good, but is it my favorite? I'm going to give it a high 3.
Yeah, I'm high with 3. You. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
It just doesn't, it lacks a little something on the palate to bump it into that 4.
Yeah.
For me.
To me, it's not real well balanced, at least right now. I think maybe it needs to age longer.
I really like the smell. I like the nose. I like the taste. It is a little intense at first, but then you take a couple more sips. And if you had a meal with this, I see it being very, very good.
I agree. I like the wine, but this would not, it wouldn't go up to 4 for me because I don't find it that complex. I'm not getting much earthiness at all on this.
Mm-hmm.
I was really disappointed because I heard all this earthiness talk and I love earthiness in my wine. So I was really disappointed there. And maybe that'll come out a little more tomorrow. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I also think it would be better if it was aging. So I guess that's a couple things. If you want to buy some wine and store it for a long period of time, if you can do that.
You look for this.
Look for a Barolo. Yeah. Go get a Barolo and age it. That would, I've got the two others and I really want to keep those for a long time.
That'd be
for another 5 years or so.
Okay.
Before we drink them.
Okay.
So
sounds good.
Yeah. So we'll try that out. Okay. Anything else?
Again, what did you say this one cost?
Oh, yeah. We didn't even go through this. So this is a Kirkland Signature Barolo 2019. It was right at
$20. $20.
Of course, from Costco.
Mm-hmm.
I did look up a couple of reviews on it. Reverse Wine Snob said aromas of leather, black cherry, cedar, licorice, black pepper,
licorice,
and spice. And I totally, yeah, the cherry, I would say more towards just regular cherry, but maybe a little tending towards the black cherry, but I'd say it's brighter, more towards
that
regular cherry.
Yeah, the cherry is definitely on the taste more than the smell for me.
And that cedar, I got lots of that.
Lots of that on the notes.
Just a very small hints of leather. I don't have anything written down that he even said, he or she even said anything about rose or floral.
I get
a lot of floral in there.
And a touch of vanilla.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To me.
Yeah. So another reviewer said earthy flavors with cherry and blackberry and noticeable acid.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the acid really, it really makes you pucker.
It does.
Yeah.
Until you get used to it.
And that's the thing. I think it could age a long time.
I got used to it a little bit. When you pair it with some food, it's going to be even better.
Yeah.
And what did the reverse snob, did he give it a
They rating? Gave it a buy. He gave it a really good flavor. And he,
but he
I,
didn't.
I think because he tries to select wines that are very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
It got less of an affordable score, but it was still a buy.
Okay.
Okay.
Which means purchase.
Yeah, you should buy it. Not a bulk purchase. He has bulk purchases or purchases. This was a regular purchase.
Yeah. And I think it's
probably because of the price.
That taste, too, that it's not quite as complex as he probably was expecting.
Well, and that's the thing. For $20, I know I had a $20 Zinfandel, And I would take that $20 Zinfandel over this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, just for that price, to me, this is a little underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what we're doing next week.
Yeah, next week we are going to learn and taste a South African Chenin Blanc, and we're going to compare that to a Rhone Valley white blend.
Oh, okay. We haven't had a very many South African wines on the show.
No.
So I'll be happy to taste that.
Yeah. And I've been seeing more about South Africa.
Okay.
So I think there's some excitement there. So that music means it's time to go. And so until next time, happy wine trails to you until we taste again on the next episode of the Wine Appraiser Podcast.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.